From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Missourians will soon decide whether a policy banning most abortion in the state went too far.
It's just so extreme in Missouri. I think it's even putting off some people that are more centrist or even right than myself.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on the high-stakes battle over Amendment 3, Missouri's abortion legalization proposal. That's after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Governor Mike Parson signed an executive order Tuesday declaring a drought alert in the state. The U.S. Drought Monitor reports more than three-quarters of Missouri's counties are experiencing moderate, severe, or extreme drought. The most extreme is in the southwest corner of the state. Governor Parson allowed the most recent drought alert to expire after rain improved conditions in the spring. This declaration means the state will activate the Drought Assessment Committee, which meets to keep track of conditions and provide recommendations for response. This drought alert is set to expire on March 31st. Some St. Louis area childcare directors say Missouri's backlog of payments to childcare providers is causing them undue financial pressure and straining families. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
Missouri education officials say they're processing a backlog of subsidy payments owed to childcare providers and families. Department of Elementary and Secondary Education officials attribute the problem to a new system that processes payments. Felicia Cook is executive director of Kids World North in North St. Louis County. She says the state owes her as much as $25,000, and some parents who haven't received subsidies are also struggling.
I don't know who can afford to be off work for 3 months in order to get quality care or to receive the subsidies to help pay for care.
State leaders say they've hired more workers and have made progress on reducing the backlog. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Election officials in St. Charles County are putting more resources toward early voting as turnout exceeds expectations. St. Charles County Elections Director Kurt Barr says they'd planned for a total of 2,500 voters each day countywide. On Monday, one location alone saw 3,500 voters. Now the Election Authority Office in St. Peter's has added off-site parking with a shuttle bus to help ease parking and traffic congestion at that voting location. And Element Church in Wentzville will be open an extra day, the Monday before Election Day. That site will also have additional staff and processing equipment due to high demand there. You can find a list of early voting locations throughout the region at stlpr.org. The Sentencing Project's new disenfranchisement report estimates the rate of Missourians who can't vote has decreased since the last presidential election. However, the numbers are still high among Black Missourians, which could impact political representation. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Missouri's disenfranchisement rate is the same as the nation's average, 1.7%, but one of the highest among states with restrictive voting laws. Missouri disenfranchises nearly 4% of its Black population. Marissa Omari is a criminology professor at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. She says high rates of disenfranchisement affect communities too, because many Missourians who can't vote aren't in prison. They're on court supervision.
People talk about how mass criminalization has devastated communities of color in terms of being able to access resources, and certainly voting, I think, is one of those things.
Missouri lawmakers have previously introduced voting rights legislation for people on probation or parole, but those bills have stalled. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Alderwoman Kara Spencer has resigned from the city's nonprofit development arm, citing internal dysfunction and a lack of transparency. Spencer was appointed to the St. Louis Development Corporation Board because she chairs the budget committee for the city's Board of Aldermen. Spencer says Mayor Tashara Jones' appointment of Neil Richardson as both CEO and chairman of the board hinders oversight and creates conflicts of interest. Jones calls the move a political stunt and says the decision to name Richardson to both roles is consistent with how things have always been done. Spencer has announced she's running against Jones for mayor next spring. Board of Aldermen President Megan Green says she's in the process of finding another alderperson to fill the vacancy. The GOP nominee in Missouri's 3rd Congressional District is hoping for more productivity if he goes to Washington, D.C. next year. Former State Senator Bob Onder is the favorite to represent the Eastern and Central Missouri-based district. Onder's hoping to tighten the country's immigration laws and expand on former President Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts. But Onder says the only way Republicans could achieve policy victories is if Trump wins and the House GOP doesn't descend into infighting.
If we get that so-called trifecta, the presidency, the House, and the Senate, in the first 100 days, we're going to have an agenda to secure the border, an agenda to renew the 2017 Donald Trump tax cuts.
Onder was a guest on Politically Speaking, his episodes at stlpr.org. Onder's opponent, Bethany Mann, will be on later this week. Leaders at Madison County Transit opened a new bike trail and bridge Tuesday that will further connect Southern Illinois University Edwardsville's campus to the rest of the trail network. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
Called the Yellowhammer Connector, the roughly $3 million trail and bridge span just 2,400 feet. However, transit and campus leaders say that short distance is all that's needed to provide a critical connection to SIUE and the extensive trail network. S.J. Morrison is the managing director of Madison County Transit. He says the Yellowhammer Trail represents a meaningful expansion on the campus.
It also represents another step in helping to make Madison County one of the most bikeable places in the Midwest. And in order to do that, yes, you have to build the infrastructure, but you also have to come alongside it with the culture making.
The trail was funded by an Illinois state grant. The project came in about $150,000 under budget and took about a year to construct. In Edwardsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri was the first state in the country to ban most abortions after the fall of Roe v. Wade. But next week, voters will decide whether to place abortion rights protections in the state constitution. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the high stakes over Missouri's Amendment 3.
Missouri banned almost all abortions minutes after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade. This was a major victory for state Republicans who had methodically chipped away at abortion access since they took control of the legislature in 2002. But the state's abortion ban, which has no exceptions for rape or incest, galvanized abortion rights supporters like Richmond Heights resident Jim Malloy.
It's just so extreme in Missouri. I think it's even putting off some people that are more centrist or even right than myself.
If passed, Amendment 3 would legalize abortion up to fetal viability, usually around 24 weeks of pregnancy. And while Amendment 3 wouldn't legalize abortion right away, it would provide a strong legal foundation for lawsuits striking down restrictions such as the 2022 ban. Nearly 800 medical professionals have endorsed Amendment 3 and have spoken out against how the ban makes their job harder. For instance, St. Louis-based OBGYN Jennifer Smith says she's had to direct patients to Illinois if she discovered a fatal fetal abnormality because Missouri law only allows for abortions if a mother's life or permanent physical health is in danger.
This should not be happening in Missouri, but that's the reality when politicians force their beliefs on patients and doctors.
Foes of Amendment 3 aren't giving up without a fight. In particular, a number of religious groups who believe abortion is morally wrong are rallying their congregants to vote no. And Amendment 3 opponents are banking on socially conservative voters like St. Clair resident Jamie Keem to reject the measure.
You know, the your body, your choice type of stuff, like that's just not something that aligns with me. And I feel very strongly about that issue.
Amendment 3 opponents have also contended the language could legalize gender-affirming care for minors or abortions late in pregnancy, which legal scholars and Amendment 3 proponents say are scare tactics that misrepresent what the proposal actually says. Still, Stephanie Bell of the anti-Amendment 3 group Missouri Stands With Women says Missouri judges could interpret the constitutional amendment in ways residents don't like.
Again, if we're talking about Missourians who want exceptions, that's something that can be done legislatively.
Most public polls show Amendment 3 passing, and some prominent GOP leaders are not confident that the proposal can be defeated. But Bob Onder, a former state lawmaker and the GOP nominee for Missouri's 3rd congressional district, is not giving up hope. He says that anti-abortion rights activists nearly defeated a 2006 measure protecting stem cell research despite being outspent.
I think it will be very close, and I'm hopeful we'll be able to defeat that really horrible law.
Fashion icon Carly Kloss, though, says she's hopeful that Missourians will embrace abortion rights. Kloss, a Webster Groves native who gained international fame as a model and entrepreneur, went door knocking for Amendment 3 this week in St. Louis County. She notes that abortion rights ballot items won in other states, including ones like Missouri, which lean toward the GOP.
Missouri will be really telling. I'm really hopeful, not only because of the doors that I knocked on, but because of, I mean, many polls that are showing that there's an overwhelming majority of Missourians, Republicans and Democrats, who do support this right to choose.
If Kloss's prediction is correct, it could show that the fall of Roe v. Wade was not a victory for anti-abortion rights activists in Missouri, but the beginning of a backlash leading to strong constitutional protections for the procedure. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. We have more coverage of the candidates and issues this election at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.